I think everybody has that little bit of fear in thinking, yeah, it's not the thing people do. Well, honestly, I think that's the biggest thing. Like, we, again, my generation, you went through high school, went to post-secondary if that was for you. You went out and you went to the workforce and you got a job. And that was it. And then you potentially maybe get married, maybe have kids, maybe do all of the things. But there's sort of a lockstep in which you do the things. And I think people are scared to do something that is outside of that.
Welcome to Medium Lady Talks. I'm your host, Erin Vandeven. I'm a millennial and mother trying to build the place in the world that's made for me, while fighting burnout, living intentionally, and embracing gratitude, even when I'm grumpy. Here on Medium Lady Talks, we visit the topics and practical tips that will help you maximize self-discovery and minimize self-judgment so you can finally get momentum building the life you know is possible in this post-pandemic world. On this podcast, you can expect we'll get deep while having fun, and whether you're burnt out like a dog in a dumpster fire or celebrating your best life daily, you'll find the conversations, prompts, and tools I know will be helpful on your own personal healing journey. So stay tuned for my deep dive solo shows and interview episodes with dear friends and expert guests. Together, we'll make sure you have what you need to build the place in the world that's made for you. I'm so glad you're here. So let's jump in. Hello, hi, and welcome to Medium Lady Talks. I'm your host, Erin, and today I'm joined by guest Pam Crichton. Pam is a photographer and owner of the 10 West Photography Studio, former teacher, mama of two girls, police wife, and Pam is here on mic with me. It's Pam's first podcast, everyone, so be super gentle. Pam, welcome to Medium Lady Talks.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here.
I am so thrilled that we've made this happen. Pam, you and I are friends through a mutual friend, Dana, who's also been on the show. Pam, I'm really happy to have you here for season four, because what we're doing for our interviews for season four is we're sort of talking with our guests about this sort of central question that I think has application to other people's lives, but has been sort of something that you've answered for yourself. We're going to hear all about sort of your life's journey as a former teacher into a current owner of a photography studio and, you know, active career photographer. I think this is the kind of thing that people sort of like see happening to other people, but they don't think it can happen for them. Mm-hmm. They can't imagine themselves making a big career change, even though maybe deep down they really desire that. Yeah. So that's going to be the central question of our chat today is, can you make a big career change? And Pam's going to say you can, and she's going to tell us about how she did it. But Pam, before we kind of really get ahead of ourselves, tell us a little bit about who you are, what you're all about, what your day-to-day is like, mm-hmm. who are the people you work with and help, and let's get to know you a little more.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you for the lovely introduction. Yes, I am Pam. I spend my days photographing people, talking to them about their stories, trying to capture their personality and their authentic self through my lens. And I really love doing this. I started out doing family photography. I've done wedding photography. I've done pretty much all of the genres. And I've really sort of settled into headshots and personal branding because I really identify with people who are making their own path, choosing to do something a little bit different. I work with a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of women who have sort of left a traditional role and are carving out a different path for themselves. Yeah, so that's, in a nutshell, that's what I do day to day.
How long have you been a photographer?
I officially have been a photographer for 7 years, but I honestly grew up behind the camera. I loved taking photographs as a kid. My mom has albums and albums filled with photographs, so that's kind of where my love of, you know, keeping memories alive through photographs came from, I think. And then it was a natural progression for me. And as I, you know, grew up and had friends, I was always the one with the camera and getting doubles of photos when we used to print our photos. You remember those days?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. And I really loved it. And then I went into the teaching world, and I know we'll talk about that shift, but as I was looking for something else to do. It was sort of a natural progression to, you know, pick the camera back up and see if I could make it go as a business.
So tell me a little bit more. You kind of grew up with a camera in your hand. And I think we're about the same age. I'm going to make that assumption. You know, you kind of make your way through high school and you kind of hit this pivotal time, at least where we are here in Canada. You have to decide what you're going to apply to in terms of post-secondary school. That's the way a lot of people do it. That's the way a lot of, you know, my friends in my cohort. I feel like this early millennial generation, we all kind of had this experience of choosing your program, choosing your next thing through post-secondary school, and you're trained as a teacher. Was there ever a point at that stage when you thought photographer or teacher? Or maybe the better question is, what made you decide to go into teaching?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think as I grew up, I was always a natural helper. I always wanted to, you know, kind of be there and support other people. Again, I had family members who were teachers. So it was a natural thing to sort of follow in that path. And I knew I didn't want to do anything medical. That wasn't my jam. I wasn't super sciencey. I was more towards the artsy, creative world. I know my high school art teacher wanted me to be an art teacher. And I thought, well, that's pressure. I got to draw every day. I don't know about that, but I definitely, you know, I wanted the arts to be alive in my teaching world, but I loved books, loved reading. So I decided that I wanted to go into English teaching and it was a great step for me to take that direction and become a teacher. I loved teaching. I loved so much about it. I still do love so much about it. I love the students. I love the peers that you meet. Like, I am still really good friends with many of my teacher friends. So, you know, that speaks to the people in that profession. So, yeah, it was not that I didn't like teaching. I just chose to sort of move away from it at a certain point in my life.
Okay. So I wonder if we think about that central question, Pam, and we think there's listeners out there saying, could I make a big career change like that? Could I move from, and I'm gonna make some like sweeping statements just about teaching in general, not your specific story, but we'll hear more about your specific stories. Like, could I move from the sure thing to the less sure thing? Which is, the sure thing is the teacher workforce is very reliable. My husband's a teacher. You know, he started teaching at age 23. He'll probably retire before he's 55. He's on track and it's extremely reliable. He gets those summers off, Pam. He's got the March break taken care of, the Christmas break. That's a sure gig, you know, to pivot to entrepreneurship and photography, which I think is something that seems romantic and glamorous and appealing, certainly more so maybe than facing down 30 English students day after day. Set your own hours, you know, be creative, bring people's memories to life, but also kind of maybe comes with a lot less reliability. People might ask that question, can I make a big career change? Can I move from the sure thing to the less sure thing? Some of those people listening, Pam, would say no, heck no. And where do you think that reaction comes from? Or did you ever have that reaction while you were a teacher, think, maybe I should try this photography thing? And you thought, no, it's not. I'm not doing that. Was there ever a voice in your head that you kind of denied before you took the plunge?
I think everybody has that little bit of fear in thinking, yeah, it's not the thing people do. And honestly, I think that's the biggest thing. Like, we, again, my generation, you went through high school, went to post-secondary if that was for you. You went out and you went to the workforce and you got a job. And that was it. And then you potentially maybe get married, maybe have kids, maybe do all of the things. But there's sort of a lockstep in which you do the things. And I think people are scared to do something that is outside of that. I think we see that a lot more now in the younger generations. People are doing different things. But in our generation, it wasn't really done. It hasn't really been done. And people are scared to do something different than what we're expected to do, perhaps by our parents or, you know, the people around us. I definitely remember when I was leaving teaching, I had friends who have been teaching for, you know, a dozen years like I had been. And they were like, you are crazy to leave.
Yeah.
Like, you can't. You have a pension. You have, like, what? Why would you leave teaching? And I mean, again, it's personal circumstance. And I left for, you know, my own reasons to be home with my babies. But to me, there was value in that. And that sort of superseded everything that society had taught me that I needed to do. Mm. So, yeah.
How did it feel when people said, you're crazy?
Yeah, it sort of, I was taken aback for sure.
Yeah.
And said, wow, like, thanks for being supportive. Thanks.
Oh, no.
I am chasing my dreams. And you're like, what? But I knew they just couldn't see it. Right. And now, I mean, now those people are like, wow, go you. Look at you go. Right. But it has taken a lot of time for them to realize just because they are continuing down that straight path doesn't mean that what I'm doing is wrong. It's just different. So, yeah, it's just perspective. And again, my perspective, just because of life experience and things I've done in my life and choices I've made, is very different sometimes to other people's. And it takes them a while to figure out, oh, wow, like, there is more to it than, you know, maybe she lets on. So.
Were there times, it sounds like there was a really pivotal moment where you thought, I'm going to do this instead of that. Can you share a little bit more about that? What was going on when that happened?
Yeah. So my basically left after having my second daughter. I had gone on mat leave for 1 year. I went back for a year, had my second baby, went and was on mat leave. And at that point, my husband, working in the police force, his shifts were all over the place. Mm. And for me, putting two babies in daycare, dropping them off at like 6:30 in the morning to get into Milton because I was living in Dundas. The drive, like just the whole situation, I was like, wow, when I do the math, what am I coming home with at the end of the day or the end of the month that's going to benefit our family? And it really didn't add up to much. It was like a couple hundred dollars, to be honest. So when I thought, wow, well, I can stay home with them, be their sole provider in terms of daycare, and I just need to make up that $200 somewhere else. So I thought, okay, well, I've always loved photography. I've always taken the photos. I've always done the thing. Maybe I can, you know, just dabble on the side and do a few things with my camera here. So that's when I sort of started thinking that there was a different path. And so it did start as sort of a way for me to be home with my kids and to do something different. And then when I started actually taking on clients, paying clients, which was a big thing because it started with just friends who, you know, I would just offer to take their photos and their kids' photos and my kids' photos, right? And then when I thought, wow, people will pay me to do this. And I'm pretty good at it. Like I can do this. When I realized that there was a market there and I don't have to be driving to town every morning and dropping my kids off and like doing the hustle and the, you know, I can do this. It looks different, but I can do it. So that was sort of the decision making, was adding up those expenses that we had and figuring out, wow, I need to just make a little bit of money and I can do that a different way rather than going back and lesson planning and marking all day long.
Okay. I have so many questions after you've shared that. Yeah. So many.
Yeah.
So I find it so refreshing the way you tell the story, because it feels very objectively straightforward. It feels very like rational, if I can say, as you're sort of like, well, this isn't working. What else might work?
Right.
What's the cost benefit analysis?
Yeah.
What is the financial bottom line? Mm-hmm. And I can do this.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the time we skip that rational step when we're thinking about making a big change. We overinflate it based on what you shared before, which is, you know, what if people say I'm crazy?
Right.
And instead of people are probably going to say I'm crazy and I've done the Excel spreadsheet of this decision.
Right. Yeah.
And I know even if they think I'm crazy, that it's not that crazy to find that $200 odd somewhere else based on my skill set.
Right. Right. I was just going to say that I don't think a lot of people sit down and do the math when they're like, oh, you know, I have to send my kids to daycare. I have to do this. I have to do that. You don't have to do anything. Like, we went down to one car for a year to save expenses. Like, I've sacrificed lots of things, but again, it's because we looked at the big picture and we thought, well, what do we really want for our family? Not just what should we do next? What does, you know, the world think that we should do next? So yeah, it is interesting to take that sort of objective look, because I feel like I'm not really a super objective person all the time.
Okay.
I think a lot more with my heart. But again, maybe that was my husband's like coming into it. Okay, let's look at it. Can you be home and not, you know, be putting the kids in daycare for, you know, just working to pay for that? So yeah, interesting.
Had you ever made money with your photography before?
Not prior to, actually, that's not true. I did photograph a friend's wedding and she paid me $200 and I thought I had hit the jackpot.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't a photographer at that time. I had a really nice camera. She knew I was good. Like, she knew I had skills because I had loved it for years.
Yeah.
She gave me $200 and I was like, that is too much. Like, what? Right? And I mean, I thought I had hit the jackpot.
I love that.
So, I mean, that was many, many years ago, like pre-babies, pre-everything. But yeah, that was the one time. And now I'm like, wow, good for her. No, good for me.
That's right. Good for you. Good for you.
Good experience for both of us.
So that was really like the only example when you made this change. You weren't like, well, I'm booking one wedding a month now.
No.
And if I book two weddings a month, then not even remotely.
No, not even remotely. I was like, ooh, let's do mini sessions for like $50. Like, that's where I was at. I was like, I just need to make this $200 a month so I can do like little mini sessions in my living room or in my backyard, which I did. I started in my backyard.
Amazing.
And in my living room.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it just kind of grew from there. Now I look back and I'm like, wow, cringing a little bit, but that's okay. We all start from there.
My other question is, again, if we think about people putting themselves in your shoes and imagining themselves making the decision to make a big career change.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, no, I can't do it. I actually might be one of those people who's like, no, I don't think I could do it. You know, like if I were to ever, let's say, try to make an income off of Medium Lady and leave my 9-to-5 and make an, my answer would probably be no. And the reason I think that, well, there's a lot of reasons, but is my identity is really tied up in my 9-to-5. For better or for worse. I'm pretty aware of it, but like it really is a big part of who I am, how I derive purpose, where I find a lot of like happiness and self-satisfaction. A lot of social connection comes from my workplace. Did you ever feel that? Is like, no, I'm Pam. I'm a teacher.
Yeah.
If I stop being a teacher, who am I? Did that ever come up?
I think because I started my photography business after my mat leave, I had already lost a little bit of that, to be honest.
Ah.
Yeah. So I was already in like the depths of like, wow, I just had babies. I don't know what I'm like. Am I coming? Am I going? Like you lose a little, you change. I don't want to say you lose a little bit of yourself. Many people will relate to that because I think as moms, we you know, sacrifice a lot of ourselves to raise these little humans. And so I was already in that place where, yes, I am Pam, a teacher. I've been teaching for years, but I was already in that changing, like, I don't know who I am and what my purpose is anymore other than raising these little humans. And I need to do something else to find myself again.
So it's possible you might have gone back to teaching and still started your business anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Who knows how that could have looked? And I mean, there are photography teachers, right? Like there's an opportunity there. And people were like, oh, you should come back and teach photography. I thought, yeah, but that's not really what I'm doing right now. So, you know, I've been a guest lecturer at, you know, some classes and that sort of thing. And that's fun. And it kind of brings me back to my teaching days, but it's not really the same.
You know, it makes me think of this word that I've recently learned, and I wish I had known it when I had my babies, which is the word matrescence. Do you know that word?
No.
So matrescence, if you think about adolescence, Adolescence is the process of becoming an adult, transitioning from the end of your childhood to the beginning of your adulthood. Mm-hmm. Matrescence is this beautiful word that's about the end of your life as not a mother and the beginning of your life as a mother. Wow. It's about becoming a mother. And I don't hear a lot of people talk about this word, but I just have recently been exposed to it through a couple of, you know, people that I follow online. And Cecilia Mandrick was a guest on the show, and she briefly touched on it in the interview. But this idea of matrescence is sort of what you're talking about, is like you were already on maternity leave. You're already sort of at a period of transition out of the teacher identity into the mother identity, getting deeper into the mother identity as the mother of two children. Mm-hmm. And that idea of losing a bit of yourself is also kind of about that transition of the person who wasn't a mother.
Right.
And becoming. It's a process of becoming. So that's exactly what I thought of as you told that. Yeah. I could really like see that as the definition of that word.
Yeah, I love that word now.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So let's say there's somebody out there, Pam, listening, who says, could I make a big career change? Maybe. And those are the people who are maybe putting a few conditions on them. Mm-hmm. It's like, I could if, I couldn't if. Mm-hmm. Maybe if I was going to make a lot of money. Or maybe if it was a sure thing. Or maybe if I had all the training and everything lined up and all the certifications. Maybe if everything was perfect, I could make a big career change. Uh-huh. And you're nodding, so yeah. I'd love to hear. What do you think about that? What do you think about the people who are saying, maybe I could if everything was perfect?
You can. Because there will never be a perfect time. There will never be the perfect time to take that big risk. You will learn that it was the perfect time after you've taken the risk.
Mm.
If you wait, you will be waiting forever, I believe. Because we have, it's the same thing as starting again on Monday, right? Like you're starting your clean eating on Monday. If you don't just make those small habits every day, and change that perception in your own mind, it's not going to become that habit, right? So it's kind of the same kind of principle there. You have to do before it becomes.
You have to do.
Because it won't become. Yeah. Before it becomes.
Before it becomes. Yeah. Say more. Yeah.
Because if you don't do, it's never going to become. So
I make that joke sometimes, is that I wanted a podcast for a decade, mm-hmm. and the only thing that got me a podcast was making a podcast.
That's exactly.
So annoying. So annoying.
It's exactly it. And honestly, I have so many clients these days that they're coming to me for headshots because they're, you know, they needed to update their LinkedIn because they're starting this new business, or they're going out on their own, or they're right. And they're always like, and then I somehow talk to them about how I used to be a teacher, and they're like, what, you did? Oh, but now you're doing this? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, wow, what? Like, and they can't believe that I have done the thing and I'm doing the thing. And so I encourage them to do the thing. Like, I have it tattooed on my arm, carpe diem. Like, seize the day. You've got to do the thing to believe that you can do it.
But you had a lot of evidence, 10 years worth of evidence that what you could do was be a teacher. Mm-hmm. I bet you were a darn good teacher, Pam.
I think I was a pretty good teacher. I loved it.
What was it like to be a teacher? Tell us about your days as a teacher. You've taught in the UK. You were an English teacher.
Yeah.
What was it like?
I have had many teaching experiences. And I think, again, this gives me a different perspective to many of my teacher friends. Many of my teacher friends have been in the same school or same school board, teaching the same thing for their most of their career. And that's great. Hey, if you can do that, I applaud you, because that's hard too. But I taught overseas for a few years. I did teach in the UK at an all-girls school. It was really amazing. And then when I came back to Canada, to Hamilton specifically, I taught at an adult learning center. So I taught day school credit, so high school credit, to adults who had dropped out of high school for various reasons. Many of them had babies when they were teenagers, or they had problems with drugs, or they had, you know, family problems, and they were, you know, kicked out of the home and they stopped going to school. So they were coming back. The average age of the student was about 23.
Wow.
But we taught everyone from 18 to 65 year olds. And that was a really cool experience because we got to kind of learn about their lives, right? And mm-hmm. and give them some life skills as well as like the curriculum. So yeah, I did that for a while. And then I got into the high school stream in Hamilton. And then I taught in Halton. I've taught everything from grade 5 to grade 12.
Wow.
OAC back in the day. Yeah. So I've had a whole variety of teaching experiences. And again, that's maybe not very common for a lot of teachers. They go into, you know, their one subject, their one teachable or two teachables, and that's what they focus on. But I kind of have had that diverse experience. So maybe it has given me a little more of that belief that you can do different things and still have success.
And how do you define success each time?
That's a great question because it's such a hard, I feel like it's a hard definition. Yeah, for me, success would be enjoying what you do. I mean, financial success would be getting a paycheck for it, really, at the end of the day. Yeah, just being in a place where you're happy
mm-hmm.
in kind of all the realms.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like sometimes that's what keeps the person who says, maybe I could, if it wasn't too uncomfy, if it wasn't cringy, if I didn't have to tell anybody. mm-hmm. You know, if I didn't really have to put myself out there, maybe I could make a big career change.
Right.
Or if I could do it and guarantee that success.
Yeah.
Without really knowing and defining the definition and without really being able to know it. Like, I love what you said is like, sometimes you don't know until it's in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
That was pretty successful. That was a pretty great experience.
Yeah.
I was really good at that.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's also easier than when you are in the moment, you know, like sometimes the job that we're doing right now, it's hard to say, like, I'm really good at this today.
Yeah.
Without changing a thing, you know, but it's easier to look back and say, like, in my career journey as a nurse, I've had a lot of different jobs. And when I think back to my bedside nursing days, I'm like, I was really good at that. I was a really good frontline nurse, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm not doing that anymore. And I don't think I felt as confident then as I can recognize, you know, back then. But I think that that's, you know, also a really important thing to recognize when you're looking at the future.
Right.
Is to remember that your future self is going to look back at these decisions and these points in time that you're making, and you're going to find a lot of validation in that look back, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so let's think about the person that is effectively you, Pam, mm-hmm. is, can I make a big career change? And that person says, yeah, I really can. I definitely can, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure when to make that change. I'm not sure how to make that change. They're sort of like logistically stuck a mm-hmm. little bit, you know? I definitely could do it, mm-hmm. but I'm not really sure where to start. So I'm going to just mm-hmm. like keep going until the stars align.
Mm-hmm. What would I say to them? Is that your question?
Yeah. Or maybe a little bit more about the clients that you photograph, mm-hmm. you know, like where are they at in their journey and what are the things that sort of are like the small linchpins that they are getting a little hung up on?
Yeah, a lot of them, I have had this conversation with a friend and it's called getting stuck in the details. So you don't want to get stuck in the details. Like a lot of them, I say, oh, okay, are you okay if I share this on social media? Can I tag your account? Oh, I don't have one yet because I don't have my headshot done. Okay, no problem. Mm-hmm. But that's getting stuck in the details. So just because they don't have their headshot yet, they're not even creating the account that they need to put themselves out there. Create the account. The photo can come later. You can always post something, right? Or like you need an email address. You need X, Y, and Z. If you are getting caught in the details, it's not going to happen, right? Like, so same with me. When I started, my logo was a green tree. Like,
yeah,
that, I had no idea what I wanted it to be. I like nature. I knew I wanted something like kind of flowery. I didn't know what. But I was like, okay, I just have to do it. I need to register my website name. It took forever to come up with a name as well, right? But I did it. And the next year I was like, this does not suit me. I need to change it. Mm. So I give people that example all the time. You can start with one thing and change it as you go. It is okay to change, to have a metamorphosis, to recreate yourself. I didn't want to be called Pamela Crichton Photography. Like, so I didn't choose that. But for you, if that works for now, do it. You can change it down the road. Like, my logo is no longer the green tree, and it has not been for a number of years. But, right, like, people wouldn't even know that now. Mm-hmm. So don't get hung up on the details and don't get caught in that kind of mucky place of, like, again, it's not perfect. You just have to kind of do the next thing to make it happen.
And I think sometimes the thing that keeps people from doing the next thing mm-hmm. is sometimes the same fear that keeps us from doing it at all. Usually we're trying to avoid that risk of people saying, are you crazy?
Right.
You know, it's like, yeah, maybe you started the business, but you didn't have 100 followers on Instagram yet. Are you crazy?
Yeah.
Or you changed your logo after a year of being in business. Are you crazy? I think we do really worry a lot about what would people think if I changed the name of my business.
Right. And that's where I think you need to do a little bit of the work, like on yourself internally, mentally. Oh, mm-hmm. You need to do the work. You need to read. Like, I am a self-help book junkie. Like, I love all that kind of stuff. I love the Mel Robbins. I love the, you know, oh, Jen Sincero. You are a badass.
Oh, I don't know her.
You don't know her?
No, tell me. Teach
you
me.
You are a badass? Oh, Jen Sincero. Her okay. book. Her book and her audiobook. That was the one for me that was like, okay, I can do this. I got this. I listened to the audiobook. I think I was on a road trip. I know. I feel like it was, anyway, I don't know what generation it was, but it was playing in my car. And I just remember hearing her read to me her book, which is, you're a badass, you can do the thing, you know, people may doubt you, people may mock you, whatever, but you got this. So again, I was taking in the content, which we call it now, of the, you know, that kind of self-help, personal development, we now call it, right? Personal growth.
Self-help. No, we don't say self-help anymore, but I mean, it's all the same thing. I mean, it's all the same thing. It's fine.
I was taking in that content and I was kind of like, okay, well, if they can do these things, I can do these things. So if you're not surrounding yourself, and it's, again, that, you know, you are the sum of the five people around you, that I can't remember who says that, but it's the same principle there, right? If you're surrounding yourself with people, even if it's people in books that you don't know, that still tell you that you can do the thing, that's going to give you that confidence. Potentially, and until you believe it, until you do the thing and then you believe you can to do it. So I think that helped me grow.
That's a really practical strategy, is just build out the voices around you that will influence you to get to a place where you are that voice right. for yourself. Build mm-hmm. out the menu of people that you draw on when you need to remember that you're a badass, or you've got this, or they did it and you can do it too. And those might be people that mm-hmm. you know. They might be people you mm-hmm. admire, like mentors. And they may also be content creators, authors, thought leaders that have a wealth of content that you can draw on to reliably keep your mind right in some ways.
Yeah, that definitely has helped me. And I think that you do need to be aware of your surroundings, your environment, the people that you are letting influence your thoughts. And lucky for me, I have a super supportive husband. He was right there saying, yeah, like, let's do this, you know, give it a go. Let's, you know, try it, right? You can do this. So for people who don't have that in their corner, specifically around them, mm-hmm. I think it is important to find those other sources of influence that will help you do that, which is maybe hiring a coach, right? Or looking for some mm-hmm. sort of source that will inspire you.
When you made the switch, you had these little kids, they needed a lot of your focus and attention. I haven't started my own business, but I would effectively consider the podcast its own sort of side hustle enterprise. You know, she doesn't make money, so she's not a real business until that day, which maybe soon. Is hopefully someday will come. Maybe. Okay. I mean, but it also requires a lot of attention and tending. Growing anything takes attention. So you're growing your two little baby girls. You're growing your business. What were those, that sort of first 2 years as an entrepreneur, what were those years like for you?
A great question. Yeah. There was a lot of learning, like so much learning, because I had no idea. Like I had no idea that the majority of my time would be behind a computer. Like I just thought I'd like go out, hang out with families and shoot some photos and be done. Right. Like that is, I had no idea. So it was a lot of learning and growing and like a lot of getting it wrong, I think, in those first couple of years. Again, I didn't know that then. Now looking back, I'm like, wow, okay, I could have done it a lot differently a lot sooner, but that's okay. That's, again, part of the growth. So
what would you say you got wrong?
Like some of the editing, like some of those things, like just even like my turnaround time, because I didn't have this specific schedule of days to commit. Like now that the kids are in school, I have daytime time.
Yeah.
Then it was like I was working in nap times and after hours. And like if my husband was off, I was working. So like not giving myself an actual schedule that worked against me without me knowing it. Like my turnaround time was ridiculous. It was fine, I'm sure, and nobody, you know, said anything to me about it. But I didn't know I could do it differently until I had done it that way. So, yeah, I think it was just the first couple of years were a lot of learning and growing and, like, again, figuring things out. I didn't know what Lightroom was. Like, what is that? Like, that's – right? So –
What is Lightroom?
Oh, Lightroom is a photo editing software. That's like what I use all the time on my computer to make the photos look pretty. But a photographer who doesn't know Lightroom or Photoshop, like it's kind of the step down version of Photoshop. If you don't know those, like that's a pretty key tool.
And what would you say to that Pam? Early business days, Pam, you know, knowing what you know now, knowing where you are now, knowing where your photography studio is going and has gone, you know, we skipped over the pandemic a little bit. That definitely was in there. We can circle mm-hmm. back if you want, but, mm-hmm. but what would you want to tell the Pam who said, yes, I can make a big career change and I'm going to do this, knowing that you really truly pulled it off? Yeah. What would you tell her?
I would tell her to keep going. Like mm-hmm. I would tell her, yeah, you got this and you will be surprised where you are in a few years. Again, I started in my living room or in my backyard and, you know, editing on a laptop and making it work. When I got a studio space, that sort of changed the scene for me and that changed kind of how I perceived even my business. So for me, that kind of was like, oh, okay, like I can do this. And I don't know if it really changed the perspective of my clientele. But it changed my perspective of how they saw me. So it was like, yeah, it was kind of like a catalyst for me to take myself more seriously. So sometimes, and that was a huge, big risk too. Like that was a big investment of like, I got to pay rent every month. I've got to, I'm signing a lease for a commercial space. So taking those big leaps helped me grow as well, because like, okay, now I'm on the hook for this. I'm not just doing it in my, you know, living room on my couch and my laptop. Mm-hmm. I have a space I have to pay for. So that sort of came in those first couple of years as well. And I thought, okay, let's here we go. Let's do this. So
you placed bigger bets on yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And which again is scary and hard, but I had people cheering for me. I had people, you know, standing by the sidelines and not so much as well, but I had a lot of people in my corner saying, yeah, give it a go, right? And at the end of the day, if all else fails, oh, well, that's okay. We'll try something else. Like, and again, because of my lived experience and because of the places I've traveled and the lives I've seen, I know that it's not the end of things.
Right.
So because I have that perspective, a lot of people don't have that perspective. They've lived a very privileged life where, you know, if somebody says something bad, it's tragic to them. So fortunately, I've got that perspective that, yeah, if it doesn't work out, I'll still be okay. I'll figure it out.
You have a lot of self-trust. But it also seems sort of, Pam, like you've always kind of been like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where does that come from? Kind
of, I don't know. I'm just thinking about that. I'm okay. Like, I hope it doesn't sound like pompous or anything, right? But
no, it sounds like you trust yourself.
Yeah. And I think just again, from taking those risks, like when I finished university actually to start teaching, I wasn't quite ready yet. So I took a year and I traveled around the world.
Wow.
And I backpacked, yeah, around the world for a year. And that's when I ended in London, in England. And that's when I ended up teaching there because I wasn't ready to come home and grow up yet. I wanted to, you know, have some fun and travel. So again, because I did kind of those things, and most people weren't doing that. A lot of people weren't doing that. Some people were, and we became friends and traveled together, which was great. But I think, again, yeah, I just have always had this perspective, and maybe that's from my upbringing, from my parents who, you know, were supportive in whatever I wanted to try. And they said, yeah, you can do that, right? And then because I tried things and had success with them or did them,
mm-hmm.
I was able to then do other things.
Yeah. You know what? You just said something that's giving me a bit of an aha moment, which is I tried things and had success, or I just did them. Sometimes, like, that's like, what if I try and I fail is always a possibility. But also, what if I try and I succeed is the hope, but there's a middle ground somewhere, which is like, you're going to try and you'll probably do some of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yep. Like you might not become for me, for example, like you're not going to maybe become the podcast that has like a million downloads every episode.
Right.
But you're not going to fail. So there's a somewhere in between, which is like doing the thing. You're going to be running a successful photography business,
mm-hmm.
and supporting your family with an income and engaging your creative muscle and connecting with people and living out your values.
Yep.
And you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Right? Pam, you might not be buying a yacht or anything, but,
right.
You know, I think in sometimes we think about things as like binary, this idea of like, well, it's either a success, like a crazy viral success, or a failure. There's this huge span of experience in between, which is like doing the thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also sometimes success also means I did the thing and then I did it forever. And I never had to change anything. Like, you know, you were a successful teacher.
Yeah.
So you'll just be that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no need to change the switch. So I think that's also kind of an aha moment that I had, you know, while you were saying that. Can I ask you, what do your parents do? Or what did they do?
Yeah, what did they do? So my mom was a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And she taught for years. And then when my brother and I came around, she stayed home for years.
Mm-hmm.
And then she ended up teaching in corrections.
Oh.
Yeah, for years. So, again, taught in that sort of alternative schooling. So taught young offenders. She taught adults. And again, sort of opened my eyes to that as something different, but you can still do while teaching. Yeah, and my dad has had many different journeys in his life. He was a heavy machine operator. And worked in the quarry for years. And the last job he had was at a factory that made suspension springs for automobiles.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I'm just always curious. I feel like entrepreneurship is so much more of an option
mm-hmm.
after you kind of have a bit of lived experience. But I also think that I'm super attracted to entrepreneurs, but I was raised, my dad's a social worker, my mom was a nurse. My dad started working for the Brantford General Hospital almost upon graduation, and he stayed there until the day he retired. This idea of like, you get one job type of thing. And my parents are extremely hard work, really care about helping people, really care about like communities and wellness. But this sort of idea, you have a skill set that you might monetize and earn a living off of, was really not something I grew up understanding until I was probably well into high school. And I had a really good friend who had a mom who was very entrepreneurial
mm-hmm.
and had a number of entrepreneurial ventures that she was like really good at talking about and sharing about. And she was in the middle of something and she wasn't scared to sort of like talk about the nuts and bolts with us. I was like 18. And mm-hmm. And ever since then, I've always kind of been attracted to people who have done the thing. Mm-hmm. So I find generally is there's this sort of role modeling of entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
And people either get that from their parents.
Yeah.
Or they get it from people that are really close to them who kind of influence them, or peers and pace setters. Do you have folks in your circle that you would consider like people who are your pace setter, or people who are sort of maybe a couple of years ahead in their business that you're sort of like, okay, I see what that person's doing. That gives me a blueprint for things I might want to try, things I definitely don't want to try.
Yeah. I didn't get the entrepreneurial gene from my parents. Like that was that was not a very blue collar kind of like just working and raising the family and doing their thing. But it wasn't, yeah, it wasn't through them. I don't know if when I started my entrepreneurial journey, there was anyone I looked towards. I just thought it was kind of right for our family. But since I have become a photographer, absolutely. There are mentors, people that I look up to in the photography world, both like locally and sort of on a larger scale. Social media makes it really easy to find people that you can, you know, connect to and that you resonate with that aren't necessarily local. So yeah, there are people definitely that I aspire to be like, but it wasn't so much in my close circle. No. Yeah.
So sometimes I guess that also goes back to your point about build out the voices and the people you're going to surround yourself with. And you probably have more options than you think. You might have a partner who's kind of on the fence, or you might maybe not be sure where you're going to find support in your immediate circle, but there's potentially some really great collaborators or people who are willing to support and mentor you outside of where you're immediately finding influence when you're kind of like really excited and ready to do the thing.
Yeah.
But you probably maybe need to be surrounded by a few more people who are on the right side of the fence of the decision.
Right.
Let's talk about life today. So you made this big decision. You made this big career change. What's a day in the life for Pam, owner and operator, photographer extraordinaire of 10 West Photography? What is it like to be a working photographer?
Mm-hmm. Depending on the day. So typically I am up early with the kids. In an ideal day, I've gone for a workout before they're even awake, which is fantastic. That's a few days of the week for me.
Proud of
you.
A
few days of the week. I'm getting there, getting stronger.
And if you follow Pam online, she's not just going to the gym. She is going to a gym.
Yeah.
That is...
We're working out. We're weight training.
It's like next level. Strength strong.
Training. Yeah. Yeah.
Gym for strong people.
Yeah, it's
like we're not fantastic. Spending a little half an hour on the elliptical type of gym.
No, that's not that kind of gym. No, it's a great gym. Most days I'll have an awesome workout before the kids are even awake, and then get the kids off to school. I typically come into my office, which is about a 7-minute drive from home, and it's connected to an awesome studio here in Dundas. So I have some studio time in the shooting spaces, which is great. If I have a client that day, I'm working with them most often in the studio, sometimes outside, depending on weather. And then I'm spending time behind my computer. So a lot of it is computer-based, editing, getting back to emails, planning social media stuff. Sometimes I am like on it, and then other times I am not. Like right now, I feel like my posts are kind of, you know, not few and far between, but that's okay. It's kind of like a little break and I get to decide that. And I, you know, try not to judge myself on that. But yeah, I spend my day kind of at the computer because I'm in this creative setting at the studio. It's great if I need to take a little walk and get some people, you know, interaction. Mm-hmm. I'm able to do that in this space. And there are lots of creatives and other entrepreneurs here, which is great. So again, I've surrounded myself with those people. Yeah. And then I'm able to be home after school for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the, you know, all the activities and things and dinner and bedtime and all that good stuff. And then potentially do it all again the next day. Or sometimes I'm on the road because I'm traveling to a shoot. Yeah. If my clients are wanting an on-location shoot, that's something that I will do as well. And that just kind of mixes up my day. But Mm-hmm. Yeah, my days are fairly structured in the daytime in terms of I'm getting some, you know, computer time, some editing done, some people time, hopefully fresh air at some point in the day, and some sunshine. Like, the daylight is important to me, so definitely getting some sunshine in my day.
Oh my gosh, thank goodness for the springtime change. I know everybody hates the time change. I love the time change.
We need it.
I'm so happy for that March time change every time it comes around.
For sure.
I often say, you know, one of the things I really want people to feel encouraged when they listen to Medium Lady Talks, whether it's one person or a million people, I want them to leave each episode feeling like they can build the place in the world that's made for them. Mm-hmm. And I hope that listeners, what you're taking away is that this can be done on whatever scale you choose to. Pam, I hear you talk about a day in the life and I think like, wow, she really did it. She built a place in the world that's made for her. And that's a place that suits you today in 2024. And certainly that place in the world will adapt and change and grow the same way it did when you were teaching in the UK.
Yeah.
That was the place in the world that was made for you. And now here you are. But you've made these iterative choices over time to make sure that that place is for you and not for somebody else. You know, all those people who said, what are you crazy? You know, you could have stayed in teaching. Certainly could have said like, I've had a 17-year career teaching or, you know, you could have heard those people who said, what are you crazy? But that would have been building a place in the world for them. Yeah. And you would be inhabiting the wrong place. And I just really want people to take that away is that like when you say yes to the things that you're dreaming of, what you're doing is putting the blocks in place that allow you to inhabit a space that is really authentic and true to who you are. And that's why it's so great to have you on the show, Pam, because I think that you're really willing to share and talk about what it kind of feels like and where you have to bet on yourself.
Absolutely. No, it's definitely been an amazing journey to get to this place. And I love sharing. I mean, heck, that was one of my strengths as a teacher, right? Being able to talk and relate to my class. And, you know, I can still, those are transferable skills. I do that every day with my clients. So, hey, no, I'm an open book.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Pam, if listeners want to get more from you or they want to get in touch with you, maybe they're in the Dundas Hamilton area, they need a photographer, where can people find you or connect further?
Yeah, they can find me most often. I'm hanging out my stories on Instagram. So that is at Pam_10West Photography, TenWest Photography. Yeah, you can reach me there. I also have a Facebook page, same name, but it's I'm more often on the gram.
And do you have a website?
Yes, I do. www.tenwestphotography.ca. In my radio voice.
Love that. You brought that out at the end.
Well, you know, I got to try. I have a cousin in radio, so, you know.
Oh, awesome. Amazing.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Pam, thanks so much for coming on the show and chatting with me.
Thank you for having me. I loved it. It was great being
here. That's great. It was really, really great to chat with you. Everyone, thank you so much for listening to this conversation with Pam. And I hope that you got an idea of the answer to the question, you know, can I make a big career change? I hope that if you've said no or maybe that we've coached you maybe a little bit closer to that yes, at least to visioning what the yes might feel like through hearing about Pam's story. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to get in touch with me, you can find me on Instagram. I'm at medium.lady. Also, please go ahead and share this episode with someone that you think will benefit from it. I want to thank you for your time and attention. I know that your focus is one of your most precious resources, and it's never lost on me that you choose to spend a bit of it with the show and with me here today. Pam and I both want you to know that we think you're really doing such a good job. Like, such a good job. And we will talk to you again soon. Bye. Thanks so much for listening to Medium Lady Talks, created and produced by me, Erin Vandeven. If you want more of the general vibe, gratitude, and encouragement from this episode, please come and find me on Instagram at medium.lady. And since you've made it to the end, I'd love to get to know you even better. Screenshot this episode so you can share it on Instagram and be sure to tag me so that we can chat. Thanks for listening. Remember, you're doing such a good job. Your place in this world can only be filled by you. I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.